Barris, in his regular voice, but still grinning widely, said, "Oh, you've got a bent choke shaft. The whole carb should be rebuilt. Otherwise, the choke's going to shut on you while you're driving along the freeway, and then you'll find your motor is flooded and dead, and some asshole will rear-end you. And possibly in addition, that raw gas washing down the cylinder walls, if it goes on long enough, will wash the lubrication away, so your cylinders will be scored and permanently damaged, and then you'll need them reboard." "Why is the choke rod bent?" Arctor asked. Shrugging, Barris resumed taking apart the carb. He did not answer. He left that up to Arctor and to Charles Freck, who knew nothing about engines, especially complex repairs like this. Coming out of the house, Luckman, wearing a snazzy shirt and tight high-style Levi jeans, carrying a book and wearing shades, said,
"I phoned, and they're checking to see what a rebuilt carb will set you back for this car. They'll phone in a while, so I left the front door open."
Barris said, "You could put a four barrel on instead of this two while you're at it, but you'd have to put on a new manifold. We could pick up a used one for not very much."
It would idle too high," Luckman said. "We'd like a Rochester four barrel. Is that what you mean? And wouldn't shift properly. It wouldn't upshift."
"The idling jets could be replaced with smaller jets," Barris said. "That would compensate. And with a tack, he could watch his RPM so it didn't overrev. He'd know by the tack when it wasn't upshifting. Usually, just backing off on the gas pedal causes it to upshift if the automatic linkage to the transmission doesn't do it. I know where we can get a tack, too. In fact, I have one."
"Yeah," Luckman said. "Well, if you tromp down heavy on the step-down passing gear to get a lot of torque suddenly in an emergency on the freeway, it'd downshift and rev up so high it'd blow the head gasket, or worse. A lot worse. It'd blow up the whole engine."
Barris patiently said, "He'd see the tack needle jump and he'd back right off."
"While passing," Luckman said, "halfway past a fucking big semi. Shit, he'd have to keep barreling on, high revs or not. He'd have to blow up the engine rather than back off, because if he backed off, he'd never get around what he was trying to pass."
"Momentum," Barris said. "In a car this heavy, momentum would carry him on by even if he backed off."
"What about uphill?" Luckman said. "Momentum doesn't carry you very far uphill when you're passing."
To Arctor, Barris said, "And what does this car..." He bent to see what make it was. "This..." His lips moved. "Olds."
"It weighs about 1,000 pounds,
Arctor said. Charles Freck saw him wink toward Luckman.
You're right then, Barris agreed. "There wouldn't be much inertia mass at that lightweight. Or would there?"
He groped for a pen and something to write on.
1,000 pounds traveling at 80 miles an hour builds up force equal to..."
"That's 1,000 pounds, Arctor put in, "with the passengers in it and with a full tank of gas and a big carton of bricks in the trunk."
"How many passengers?"
Luckman said, deadpan.
12.
"Oh, is that 6 in the back?" Luckman said. "And 6 in..."
"No," Arctor said. "That's 11 in the back and the driver sitting alone in front. So, you see, so there will be more weight on the rear wheels for more traction. So it won't fishtail."
Barris glanced alertly up.
"This car fishtails?"
"Unless you got 11 people riding in the back," Arctor said.
"It'd be better than to lead the trunk with sacks of sand," Barris said. 3 200-pound sacks of sand. Then the passengers could be distributed more evenly, and they would be more comfortable,